live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 242. We are back after a two-week hiatus. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my main man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, welcome back.
Nah, man, yeah, welcome back, Brandon, man. You've been gone. I ain't been gone, right? But no, you've been gone for like 2 weeks, man, and you're going to have to fill in the blanks, man, for us, man, because everybody kind of wants to hear that too, you know what I'm saying? I know we got a lot to catch up as far as sports is concerned, man, but yeah, man.
Brandon Reif no longer a
bachelor, officially Crossroads Sports listening audience, and, you know what I'm saying, he's been on his honeymoon. He married his beautiful bride, Lindsay. I was honored to be able to attend. And, you know, I won't tell everybody too much about Brandon Crown or anything like that. But it was a beautiful wedding, beautiful reception, a beautiful couple, of course. And, of course, I had a nice time. I had to duck out kind of fast, Brandon. But, like, nah, man, without being, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to feel too much defender because I definitely want to, you know what I'm saying, let you, you know what I'm saying, share some of your experiences over the last 2 weeks, man, where you been and what you've seen and all that, man. But, like, yeah, man, welcome back, Brandon Reif, and give us the official rundown while you're at it. Brandon Reif. Dude, I can't hear anything. We're going to have to move over to a different platform, dude. I cannot hear anything.
All right, JB, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right, we're good. Holy cow.
Dude, that is the weirdest thing. I couldn't hear you.
I don't know what's going on. All right, I'm going to have to cut out that 4-minute part where I'm just saying, can you hear me? Can you hear me? As I was trying to move everything around. Wow.
Anyways,
wedding wise, real quick, I'll touch it up quickly again. Wedding wise,
yeah, go ahead.
Great whirlwind of a 2 week period, getting everything ready. So thank you for allowing that time to kind of get everything ready because it was wild as crazy as usual. Thank you for coming again. It was great to see you. I felt like I held the tears pretty well during the ceremony, John. I think I had way more tears. I completely lost it during the first look. So other than that, I thought I did all right with the with everything. And a honeymoon was perfect down to Florida, good weather. Was able to tune into some sports and sports news. You know, I was on the beach and things like that, be able to keep at least a little bit of a foot. Watch the playoffs, get to see some of those games while we're there. And I got to meet the WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Hart I mean, just walking into Hogan's shop and Jimmy Hart's just sitting there. I'm like, oh, Jimmy, what's going on? So I had a good 10-15 minute conversation with him, got a picture. So good as always there. So, yeah, perfect. Rundown for the show tonight. Let's get us back. 2023, we're in strong, going strong tonight. We got NFL playoffs. Divisional rounds are over, folks. We got conference championship week going on, AFC, NFC championship. We'll talk that. We've also got some odds with Super Bowl winners, kind of where they're at right now, where they're looking, with your look sports betting-wise. We've got the Indianapolis Colts. Their job search is still going on as we speak. Still going on. Orion, can you hear me? Are you guys having tech difficulties on that end, or are we good on the Facebook Live? Let me know if we're good on the Facebook Live. I think we're good on everything now. But anyways, Colts search is still going on, crazy as it can be. Tom Brady's future, we've got that to talk about. Aaron Rodgers as well. Sweet, Orion, thank you again. Aaron Rodgers, they got some odds up now for these teams, so I've got those written down. College basketball update, the Indiana Hoosiers, Purdue Boilermakers, Butler, rough year for Butler, and what's going on with him. Indiana Pacers update, John, we'll talk that. Tout right before I left, Tyrese Halliburton, got to meet him, got to take a picture, maybe we're the kiss of death, because two games later, he ended up getting injured against the Knicks. So he's out. Hopefully towards the end here, we got Pacers talk about, and we got also trade updates, and the NBA trade deadline's coming up. And then the biggest of all, it's Royal Rumble week. So we will talk very little, but at the end of the show, we'll talk a little Royal Rumble this weekend. So, John, let's dive right in. Chiefs, Jags. Chiefs get themselves a win. Pretty much expected. You know, Jags had their chance to make a run. Patty Mahomes, high ankle sprain. They had a chance to make it, but a run at them, but an interception by Lawrence there. Jags are putting themselves in a good position for the future. I do like seeing that. Mahomes, I saw him today out practicing. They showed video and leaving the press conference. There was no boot. There was no limp. He looks good to go.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, if all things are equal, man, you know, still Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals still popped him three times, something, so, you know what I'm saying? But to kind of, yeah, what you say, yeah, everything you said is true. Jacksonville has a lot to look forward to. They were still within, you know what I'm saying, a play two here or there of winning that game against Kansas City on the road. You know what I'm saying? They just didn't necessarily show the aggressiveness that you have to have. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of like how the Bengals went into Buffalo. You got to have a – if you're on the road, man, you got to come out. And you get the ball, you got to come out, you know what I'm saying, first play, ready to strike. And not ready to set up no three, you know what I'm saying, ready to strike, ready to go for a touchdown. So, like, no, man, you're right. Brandon, they still look like a very confident team to, you know what I'm saying, to win a playoff game. I don't know about a Super Bowl with Henny at quarterback, man, because I think they punched him in for a touchdown with him at QB as Patrick Mahomes.
That was a 94-yard drive.
yeah. So, but you can't necessarily, and not this late in the season, pin your hopes on even though that did look good in the 94 drive. But you can't pin your hopes on that. So, yeah, he's back, and even an 85% or 90% Patrick Mahomes is better than nothing, right? So. They're back in it. This is going to be a game for it all, man. And like it's going to be the hot team against the team that everybody believes should be, you know, two Super Bowls in. You know what I mean? We're written with Ben. So, and then what does that one do? Because I know the first thing you said after, interesting, I thought you said after the Buffalo game was where do they go after this? You know what I'm saying? And I know we'll get to that here in a second, but like, what if Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs lose this game? What happens with them after this? I mean, I know that we're not talking nothing crazy about firing a coach or him getting traded or anything like that. But again, it'll be a definite season of disappointment for them because again, everybody has them pegged to win a Super Bowl go to the Super Bowl for the next 7 years. So, but like again, this weekend when they lock up, my goodness, the Bengals and the Chiefs, man, it's going to be must see TV.
Yeah, rematch of there. Real quick, you know, because we love our sponsor, right? We love our sponsors, all of them. Scott King Nichols says, if you had to start an NFL team, Burrow, Mahomes, or Allen, which quarterback would you start with? I can tell you, you can't go wrong with any of the three.
Right. I'm going to say Burrow. I'm going to say Joe Burrow's got – He's got the
and that's fine. You can say Burrow. I'm gonna go Mahomes. I'm still gonna go Patty Mahomes until he can prove it otherwise. It gets proved the other way. And I mean, you can't go wrong with any of the three, right? Burrow.
Right.
I feel like he had that big injury for a bit, like a year and a half or so ago. So, but if you look at all three of them are the type of quarterbacks that are dual threats to run and also can just end their season quickly, you know, with a horrific injury running the ball. So I think it's interesting we both didn't say Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen's a good player. I don't know if he's great, John. That's the thing. And we're going to talk about it after this game here because Bengals beat the Bills. It was snowing. Yeah, but both teams have to play in it, so you thought that could be advantage Buffalo. But Cincinnati's defense just shut down the Bills. They couldn't get anything going. Bills defense couldn't stop Joe Burrow. They had a great game plan. And I did. I sent you the text afterwards. Like, this is the three years in a row now that the Buffalo Bills were – hey, people were saying they should be in the Super Bowl. They've got this great squad. And they've squandered it twice to the Chiefs, this time to the Bengals. Is there how much longer is left in their window? I mean, I feel like there's still some couple years left in their window. But in looking at the other side with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, this is their fifth straight AFC championship. Fifth straight. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's dynasty level for an AFC championship, AFC conference, a dynasty, right?
Yeah.
So for them, their window's – you know, how much longer, and I'll put the question to you because I have it written down here. Who needs a Super Bowl more, Buffalo and Josh Allen or the Chiefs and Mahomes? Because both of them, you can look at it and say, hey, these windows are going to be closing. You have to start producing or you're going to be considered that team that just can't get it done.
Right. Here's what I'll say. This is why not necessarily ain't no panic alert for Buffalo.
Put your comments in the Facebook Live as well. Viewers, please put your comments. Who do you think? Who needs it more? Mahomes and the Chiefs? Bills and Allen? Because
I don't know. Brandon, if you believe that a quality running back could solve Buffalo's they're going to take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands just a little. It gets a little too skittish sometimes, and then you have these turnovers that are maddening. We're not Brandon, but we are not in Dak Prescott land of trust.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet.
we're not there yet, man. Josh Allen has still been able to show that he can overcome even a bad interception, but not two. You know what I mean? Nobody, and that's hard. You know, even heck, what's his name? He overcome. How many interceptions did he throw down there in Jacksonville? And they won. I think it was like three, but then they had the second half. But like, man, that's hard. You got to really have the other team on the other side have a meltdown as well. So, I think if they can improve their rushing attack, Brandon Dillon ran for. They only have 24 rushing touchdowns all year. No, excuse me, 15. I told a lie. 15 rushing touchdowns.
How many of those are Josh Allen too?
And how many of those are Josh Allen? I don't have those numbers broken down. But if your offense only has 15, like you don't have a rushing plan. Now they have a lot of yards. They do get a lot of yards. They pick up. You know what I mean? I think, but still, I look at the touchdowns. I look at like make it easy for your team so it's not difficult where you always got you constantly throwing to get into the end zone. I didn't play nor coach, and I know that about football, right? So they can get back to this, but like I'm not saying what does that mean? Do they go out and get an elite level guy like a trade for Jonathan Taylor? I know people from Coastland are like, what are you talking about? But Coach is going to be looking a whole lot differently in the next two seasons. Or do they go get a Christian? You know what I'm saying? McCaffrey, who's going to be available in free agency? But what does that number look like as far as like what's their salary cap is compared to nobody? I really don't know right now. I don't think they have enough money. to go get a big name guy. But can they repair their running back attack? Yes, absolutely. When you ask about you got a great point when you say that the Chiefs have been to how many AFC Championship games, man? So yeah, they've been here, but they gotta beat. But Brandon, they have to beat Cincinnati because Cincinnati has beaten them. It's not all about Joe Burrow, but he's the catalyst, and the quarterback, of course, gets all the credit in this league. But they gotta beat the Bengals, and like right now, whether they've been at home or on the road, they haven't been able to do so in like the last three tries. So the Bengals are on a historic little hunt here. They're not only the hottest team coming into the playoffs. Again, they've had the the Kansas City Chiefs number. So
yeah,
I mean, but the Chiefs got to get there. So again, it's in their gut, it's in their DNA. Like right now, do they have a bounce back plan for next year? Yeah, man. But again, you know, everybody gets a little older, and that bounce back plan don't necessarily bounce back for you, if you catch my drift.
Deca says he would take Mahomes and then Watson.
Watson.
He might as well take that's I don't even know where to go.
Call in and say that.
he will hear in a little bit. He's gonna get his piece. He'll be able to say his, but if I do it now, it'll be a 2-hour Decott show. All love. Bengals and Chiefs, they did play back on December 4th, John, in Cincinnati. Bengals won 27-24. Mahomes mm-hmm. threw for 223 yards. Burrow threw for 286 and two touchdowns. Pacheco had 66-yard rush. And Perine, if you remember right, Perine was in for a Le'Veon Bell Jr. What's his name? I can't think of the running back.
It'll come back to me, but yeah, I know you're talking about.
It will, yeah. But anyways, he ran for 106. Do I think the game could have changed if it was good weather, if there was no snow in Buffalo? I think a little. For some reason, I feel like the snow hampered Buffalo more than it did the Bengals, and it shouldn't. But
it
also,
right.
I don't know. I feel like that might be one of the biggest eggs that was given.
Are you talking about as far as Buffalo's concerned? Nah,
yeah,
as
they
as
lost
as
17 at home. That's
yeah.
I mean that
with,
that's just,
and given the energy, you know, and the emotional energy that you know, what I'm saying, yeah, it came out flat. Did not have what you thought they needed that was going to happen. It never did happen. Cincinnati had all the mojo that game.
Right. Exactly. The last 3 years that these teams have played, the Bengals have won all three games. January 2nd, 2022, Bengals won 34-31. January 30th, in that playoff game in overtime, it was Bengals 27-24. And then the rematch, Bengals 27-24 again. If you want to put a bet on, I'm sure you can get really good odds for it to be 27-24 for the third straight time. You at least put $5 on it. I bet you can make some good money on that if it actually hits. I don't think the Bills window is closing yet. But they have that perfect recipe for a team that's good, not great, but can't get it done. Josh Allen's good. I don't know if he's great. They also have a prima donna on their team. I mean, all wide receivers are prima donnas, basically all star ones are. But Stephon Diggs and his little shit show that he put on the sideline towards the end of the game, and then he went to the locker room, grabbed his shit, and walked out. Like, come on. You're talking about preaching this team, and all this, and then you go and do that. And then you're showing on the sideline, going at your quarterback, and he's like, wait, man, if you don't understand passion of the game, okay, but you also have, like, sportsmanship. Just be straight up. You got your ass beat. The balls that you had thrown to you, you didn't catch them. Whether it's a quarterback's fault or your own fault, that's on you.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So adjust. You weren't the only one that lost. There was 50-some other players out there. I even tweeted at him. Handle yourself the right way. Handle yourself like a professional. Okay?
Right.
the previous 2 years, you handled it like a professional. You stood on the sideline and watched the other team celebrate. This year, you're acting like a tantrum. So what happens next year? Do you just pull an Antonio Brown, take all your shit off on the field, and just take off running? Like,
nah.
I mean, I just, to me, I'm over the prima donna wide receivers. I've seen it. Stephon Diggs bitching at his quarterback. Look what your quarterback's done for you all year. He's helped you earn that big contract. So
right.
Why not? And you've seen the rest of this league, right? There's some quarterbacks that are trash. So I don't know. I don't think Buffalo's window's closing. I do think, though, Kansas City needs this right now more than what Buffalo is needing. Give it a couple more years. Buffalo's going to be right in that same situation, 5-6 in a row. Great
mm-hmm.
years for the team and nothing to show for it. But Kansas City, they have to get it done. They only got the one right now. And we're what? This is our fifth straight year in the AFC Championship. So
right.
we'll see what happens with that. Look on the NFC side, John. The Eagles just dog walked the New York football Giants, just dog walked them.
They did.
Jalen Hurts looks good. He did not look great. He still looked a little favorable with his injuries. Decott, come on, man. It was just emotion. Okay, well, take your emotion and quit trying to spotlight it and put yourself above everybody else. Stephon Diggs on the shit list. Antonio Brown 2.0 coming out of there. You watch.
It's great to be back, isn't it, Brandon?
Oh, I love it. Welcome. I'm so glad to be back. Anyways, they dog walked them. Eagles could do whatever they want. Jalen Hurts, another week preparing. I think they'll be okay. Josh Purdy and the 49ers,
what
John,
the world?
they got a big win. They beat the Cowboys in an ugly game. Purdy's going on. Purdy beat a good team on the road? Because we haven't seen it yet. This will be the first one.
Damn. Texas Ravens are going to be going down, down, down. Because I think Brandon's basically saying that Dallas is no good. And they shouldn't have been there. And they're fraudulent. I'm just filling in the blanks for what the things that he says on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen.
Did I say there were frauds on Twitter? I may have.
This before, man. Man, that was kind of hard to believe, man. I think they could have put in Cooper Rush. They could have put in Cooper Rush, and they would have had
a better
chance
of
winning.
Dak Prescott, let's remember, he's a fourth-round pick, okay? He's a fourth-round pick trying to convince you that he's a franchise player.
Brandon, it's regression. We see regression. Zeke Elliott, they're probably going to cut him. They're probably going to cut Zeke Elliott. And I get the Pollard kid is hurt, and who knows what his rehab is going to look like. But, again, if running back is the most replaceable, like you can easily replace that position. Like Zeke Elliott and – well, Jonathan Taylor's a little bit different, wouldn't we think. But, like, parallel that. I'm just paralleling that situation. Right now he doesn't have a quarterback that he's going to grow with unless the coach pick a quarterback. And, again, we'll talk about that later. But, like, right now, as of today, the Colts won't have a quarterback for him to grow with. And right now, if I had to put my general manager hat on, we would probably have to think about moving Jonathan Taylor because, like, it's going to get kooky. Because everybody listening to me right now is going to get kooky with Daniel Jones and homie that plays for the Giants running back.
Barkley.
It's about to get kooky. Saquon Barkley because –
Barkley wants $17 million a year.
Yeah, there's no way they can pay him that.
No.
So, but go back to the Dallas Cowboys, man. Again, man, 12 points. That's not. I mean,
Dak was bad. The turnovers were unexcusable.
Right. Turnovers are unexcusable. If you said kiss down your leg moment,
what
I don't know.
That,
I don't know. That
play?
Was worse than that was
Zeke not trucked.
That was worse than Pagano. That was worse than they need to call it that. Whenever you
I
see
watched
something
that.
You can't explain.
I knew I was tired, but damn,
up,
that was
you
bad.
You call it a Pagano. They called it a Pagano. They dialed up a Pagano, and that's what happened.
That was
you didn't
so
have
bad.
Any time. They didn't have any timeouts. Like, you can't really – do you really want to blame Mike McCarthy? It wasn't his fault. The players played the game. I mean, because if he gets – I mean, if Mike McCarthy does get fired or replaced, I don't think he does because Sean Payton, I don't think he's wanting to come to Jerry World.
Next year.
Here we're supposed to be talking about San Francisco. and we done lost our minds about Jerry. Well, we got to talk about Texas in this, and that was a failure. You lost to Jacob. What's his first name?
Josh Purdy.
Brandon. I was going to call him Jacob Purdy. That's somebody else. Yeah, Josh Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. They down to their third quarterback in San Francisco. I'm losing my mind, Brandon. The whole NFL should be. How can you go through? You go through two, three quarterbacks, and you right here in the same position you was last year. At the in the NFC Championship game with the third quarterback, that's unprecedented. You got to love the scouting department of San Francisco 49ers and the head coach, because they had a fail-safe. Plan A failed. Plan B failed. The rookie from last year who, you know what I'm saying, everybody says is going to be a wower. Well, he got hurt. Now we on Purdy. And Purdy, Brandon, was he the last guy picked?
Mr. Relevant.
In the draft? My goodness. And, like, he's, like, I don't know, like they got a chance. They got a chance. I can't see him being, I mean, they got
Brock
a chance.
Brock Purdy,
because,
man,
like
he's a beast.
Well, here's the thing. They got a chance. They got a chance because, like you said, homie's shoulder's not 100%. But they got it's more than just a quarterback with the Eagles. They have a good defense. They do have a running game.
They do
have a running game. They will put it in the end zone. I mean, he's part of the running game too, but they will put it in the end zone from that position. You know what I'm saying? They do like clock management and all those things, man. They, you know what I mean? And again, somebody is going to coach that from the Colts grapevine, right? But they got a chance. And like if the Eagles think that that's going to be an easy game, man, it can't be. Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers are here. Shanahan, I don't know. We haven't even talked about the betting portion of this situation just yet. But I don't know how you like where would you honestly just ready to put the 401k on if you had to. I don't know.
We'll get to that in a second. I want to finish up with. I mean, we're not going to finish up with this. We got this whole offseason to talk about him. Dak Prescott, John, he's played
for what? It's a wrap.
He's played six playoff games in his career. He's 2-4.
Wood.
He's thrown 11 touchdowns and five interceptions. Now, let's take four of those touchdowns out because it was against the Bucs when they put a hurting on them in Tampa when I was down there. That gives you seven touchdowns and five interceptions if you skew that number. He's still only throwing 61% completion percentage. His QBR, imagine what his QBR would be. His QBR was a perfect QBR against Tampa Bay. And even with that in there, his quarterback rating's a 92.3. Without that, where would it be? Probably in the it'd be in the 80s, if that.
In the 80s. Right.
80s, if not 70s. His ratings were 103, 83, 99, 69. 143-63. We have a fourth round pick that's trying. Fourth round pick that's trying to prove and trying to say and tell everybody a fraudulent that he is a number one franchise guy.
Well, that's because at the time of his contract, Brandon, he put up franchise numbers. That's what happened. At the time of the year before his contract, and then Dallas didn't want to get into this whole flirtatious thing that they did with Kirk Cousins when he played for Washington, and he got franchise tag like how many times? Three times, and it cost you overpaid for a quarterback there. So Dallas didn't want to overpay. They knew what they had. I think all these teams kind of know what they have. They know they didn't want to overpay for Dak, but you can't necessarily let Dak walk out that door. Brandon, weren't they 13-4 this year? Weren't they 13-4?
Yes, yeah.
I think. So look at the winning percentage. So, like, do you fire Mark McCarthy because he's 13-4? No. Do you give away Dak Prescott because he's got a bad tire? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Do you give away your car? You just go buy a new tire. They're gonna wash away those running backs. Maybe a new receiver, man. He needs a tight end too.
Let me go through a list here. Tell me who you would rather have. Okay. I'm going to throw out – these names are going to get thrown out. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Geno, those top four, because these are passing leaders, passing touchdowns.
Right.
These were the top four for the year. So I'm going to throw them out, okay? Obviously, Dak only played 12 games, so his stats for that ain't going to be higher. Would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Dak Prescott? Just give me a name. I'm just going to go through names.
All right.
Dak or Kurt?
That's even, man. That is so even. That is even, Brandon. You know it. I could even give you
that's
one.
That's why I'm asking
you. Twist my arm. Twist my arm, Dak Prescott. For real.
Jared Goff, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott's going to show up, man. He's going to show up.
Justin Herbert or Dak Prescott?
Justin Herbert, only because his star is rising, but he ain't won crap yet.
Trevor Lawrence or Dak Prescott? You're probably going to say Lawrence.
I almost got cussed out by some down south Colts fans.
Uh-oh.
When I said that Peyton Manning, that's like Peyton Manning Jr. When he came back, that was like Peyton Manning Jr.-esque, man. Oh, yeah. If I ever go to Jacksonville and retire, man, I might become a fan, man, but it probably gonna happen.
So you would take Trevor over Dak, okay?
Oh, Trevor Lawrence over him all day. Oh, yeah,
Tua
absolutely.
Or Dak?
Nah, man. Hey, man, it looks good when it's out there. It looks real good, Tua. Hey, man, it's not 100%. He took a lot of punishment in Alabama and didn't come back into the league 100%, man. And now it's just compounded, man.
Derek Carr, Dak Prescott.
Derek Carr, Dak Prescott. Yep.
I'll give you a couple more. Jalen Hurts or Dak Prescott? Probably Jalen, right? We can agree on that.
Right now, man, Jalen Hurts is flirting with MVP numbers, man. So, yeah, Jalen Hurts.
Last two, Justin Fields, Dak Prescott.
In the small step, I'm going to go Dak Prescott, man. People in Chicago, 219, and Gary are going to be mad at me, okay, man. And be like, well, Justin Fields ain't got nobody to throw to. I'm sorry. But
last one.
Right now, give me that.
Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott?
Oh, my God. Brandon.
Healthy Lamar.
You're going to love this. They're the same guy. Same guy.
I can't get with Brandon Reeves.
You're going to get the same results. I hope everybody from Baltimore or any Baltimore Ravens fan, you're going to get the same results. Can they both play in this league? Absolutely. Can they both get you 12, 13 wins? Amen. They ain't get you no Super Bowl. Nope. Neither one. Nope. Brandon, same guy.
Right.
The stats is going to be look better. What's that got better stats, man? Because he's in it like Harbaugh.
Right.
They shine that up real good. But remember, Brandon, they only offer him what they know because they know what kind of car, motorcycle, airplane, whatever submarine that you think he is. Okay. You remember last year, man? Remember we were talking about this at the beginning of the season. You said don't panic, and like, dude, we in panic mode with Lamar. Because he ain't signed,
I think he holds the keys to everything now. He could have played, and he said, you know what? You didn't want to offer me that contract. I'm going to sit out. You know what? I ain't going to be there.
He wants a guarantee. You can't worry about what somebody else got. Don't worry about somebody else's money, man. That's how Miles Turner is messing up. And we get to him in the second hour. But he's worried about Deshaun Watson's contract is like $185 million guaranteed, something ridiculous that the Cleveland Browns should have never did in the first place. But they were so quarterback star, they didn't know it. They don't know that a daggone scouting report to help them and tell you you might have a next Deshaun Watson in this draft. If not this draft, definitely the next two. So why would you go crazy? And I'm not even talking about the other stuff. I'm talking about just the pure talent. I'm just talking about the pure talent of what we saw. You played, man, okay, you went crazy. So now when Lamar's money came up, he wants $225 million guaranteed, man. They can't do that. Not his reckless bowling ball stuff of a quarterback, man. They can't do that.
Well, maybe he'll change it up and get that contract. They can put it in the contract. He'll change up his playing a little bit.
Well,
but that's what makes
like,
him is what he's doing.
But as far as him and Dak Prescott, Brandon, Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson,
I think
same
you need
guy.
To put that on our Facebook page. I want to see what traction you get between Dak Prescott and Lamar. Here, hold on, we got to
come at me, man.
We'll take
a
call.
They
go
come at me, man, because everybody likes Lamar. Who doesn't
Crossroads
like Dak Prescott?
Radio. Crossroads Sports Radio. Who we got?
Hey,
who we got?
Yeah, this is Nas. How y'all doing?
What's up, Nas?
No, not much. Hanging back.
I was just down in your area recently, my man. Coming back from my honeymoon. I was down in ATL.
Oh, that's what's up, man. Hopefully you got some wings while you were down here, because that's all they sell. Every restaurant, every place, they try to give you wings.
I had we were at the airport. Of course, I only quickest line I could get there, man, was Chick-fil-A. So, you know, I had to stay with your home favorite there.
Can't go wrong with Chick-fil-A.
No free ads. What you got, man? How you been? What you got for us?
I'm good, man. Not much going on, but, you know, I definitely wanted to weigh in on the conversation. Like, okay, there's a couple places I think you guys are taking the wrong turn. All right, for one, let's just put this out there. Dak is a competent, pretty good quarterback. He's an all-conditions quarterback, perfect conditions, meaning if the blocking is good, the wideouts are really good, tight end's good, running back's good, Dak will be really good. But if you need him to elevate other guys, that's just not going to happen. He's not that talented. Whereas with Lamar, yeah, you're talking about elevating low-level talent. You miss on wide receiver draft after draft after draft, yet he's still able to do. Like, they're two totally different players. Lamar is a game-breaker. Dak is a fancy game manager. So I wouldn't even put those two in the same realm.
You hear that, JB? You hear that?
I hear, because here's what happens. The game breaker, when you need him to make a touchdown, it's an interception. Every time. We can pull the tape. Every time. When you need him to come up short, Lamar, oh, man, he threw it away. Oh, that's the other team. So it ain't got nothing to do with the receiver. It's the quarterback.
No, this is the short-sightedness of the small sample size that a football season is. So if you're on a team that's not that talented, we typically remember what happened in the playoffs, and then we determine the reputation.
They won games with Brett Hundley.
So it's great.
They won regular season games with Brett Hundley.
Brother, just let me finish. It's okay. We can have this back and forth. Just let me finish. So I'm taking Josh Allen right now. I got you. Take Josh Allen right now. As great as he's been throughout his career, people are remembering the playoff games and deciding, okay, we're going to write the resume of Josh Allen in this fashion. When in reality, if you let the whole sample size play out over his career, we can all assume Josh is eventually going to get to a Super Bowl and possibly win one, and then we'll change the narrative on his reputation. Peyton Manning's first two seasons in the NFL as a contender, playoff team, he got beat 41-0, and the other one he got blown out again. People said Peyton Manning was a choker. He's not good, but the sample size played out, and, of course, he's an all-time great. Similar things are going to happen for people like Lamar Jackson, because we're talking about just an outstanding talent. And I think a lot of the talk about injury is I think we're speaking in old terms. The idea that you're safer in the pocket as opposed to outside the pocket is complete nonsense. As we've seen Joe Burrow, even his rookie year, season end in the pocket, because in the pocket is just as dangerous now. Everybody has to have mobility to be an effective quarterback, and we've seen the greatest of all time this year. His mobility started to decrease. He started to be a little in fear of getting hit, and we saw his play this year. Nowhere near what he normally does. Shout out to the great Tom Brady. But, yeah, Kirk Cousins, Dak, same guy. The talent around them is going to determine what you do. But we also got to remember, this is the ultimate team game, which is football, and we do a lot of this one-on-one stuff. Hey, Joe Burrow versus Pat Mahomes. No, it's the Chiefs versus the Bengals. And the Bengals have a more quality, solid, deep team than the Kansas City Chiefs do, and they could possibly win this week, which is why they're favored by Vegas. But if you want to do the narrative thing, we just say, well, Joe Burrow beat Mahomes again, therefore Joe Burrow's better.
Okay. John?
Look, I go by what the facts say, man. Again, Lamar has had these piss down his leg moments. The MVP is in the rear.
Really, hasn't every quarterback except for Brady really had their piss down their leg moments?
Right. So if we describe somebody losing their playoffs as a piss down their leg moment, I mean, again, we're talking about football as if it's a one-on-one sport, golf, tennis, something like that. No, talking about a team game.
So why does the quarterback automatically get the credit? Right.
That's the other part of the conversation. Should they get all the
MVP,
credit? I would say
the MVP,
no.
The MVP, the individual, we already know the talent is there. You telling me the leader of a man take the next step? The next step is stop making the interception in the big time moment, son. That's what it would be. We have you saying we ain't seen it, but I'm saying you telling me the talent is there. Boom, we already know the MVP signed it up. There's no more excuses
okay.
now. And not at 20, he's not 35. I get it. He's still under 30. He's still like 27 years old.
Right, this is about looking at a career in the same way. So, okay, so everything
his
is
career.
About Lamar.
Hold on.
Would you say the same
as
about
physical,
Josh Allen?
As physical as this game is, though, his career. And I'm not. Hey, listen, I ain't got no crystal ball, but with him being injury prone, that plays into to position it's what they're going to pay him. So again, what's his name shows up? Dak Prescott. He shows up, broke a leg. I get it. They came back. I'm surprised he came back so fast. I was, but they got the same. They got similar stats.
Somebody
could
show
record.
Up and still not be as good. And looking at stats is not a direct comparison. Okay, so again, if you're saying this about Lamar, you have to say the same thing about Josh Allen. Would you make the same statement about Josh Allen?
Yep.
Before you called in, Josh, that team got a problem. Their problem is. They got a running back problem. They don't have one. They don't have a running back. Nothing. It's all him. You got an overutilized quarterback, especially when you only got 15 touchdowns from the rush for the year. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're making excuses for Josh Allen, but you give Lamar.
Oh no. We did not. Oh no.
For the same
it's still. Like, dude, you had home field. No excuses for anybody. You still had home field, and you still were picked prior to coming into this season, right? And they still spent the money because, like, again, if everybody's gonna crap on the Chicago Bears for not spending the money, which they didn't, right? And that's why you have them as the number one pick. Guess who's at the top of the line that's spending money? The Buffalo Bills, so on and so forth. They in the top five.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are right now, but they're in the top five.
No, you're correct. They got a high cap. But then the thing would be get to, okay, how they spent the money. Did they spend the money correctly? Because from what we can see, I think you guys would agree with my assessment, the Buffalo Bills are a finesse team that is really talented. But if things don't go their way, like you said, because they can't run the ball, they can be beat by a team that's not as good as them, as we've seen multiple occasions this season. Josh throwing interceptions in the red zone. But he's still a great player, and I expect that dude to win a Super Bowl at some point. I'm not going to knock him because of what they're doing right now organizationally. And lastly, a lot of the heat that Dak is getting, deservedly so, because, again, I told you I think he's a fancy game manager. The Kellen Moore whispers out here. Like, how come people aren't talking about Kellen Moore? This dude was talked about as this innovative play caller, this great NFL mind. And I just don't see it. I see CeeDee Lamb and hopefully Dalton Schultz. And after that, they just hope Tony Pollard can save. Like, I just don't see it. I don't see San Francisco's beautiful offense when I watch the Cowboys. So
right.
I don't know how Kellen Moore is.
No. Right.
Yeah. And then, I mean, his play calling, obviously the last play, you have Zeke be the center and just got completely trucked. In that play, which, and I saw he was interviewing with the Carolina Panthers job.
Dude, that's a fireball pick.
Dude, the Panthers fans
how
were on Twitter like.
How is a better chance of scoring than a Hail Mary? Like, how did you do the calculus where you said Zeke has the center and some laterals and we're going to somehow, like, what?
Yeah.
That's the worst play I've ever seen in my life.
Listen, he interviewed with Carolina, and then I saw some Panthers fans tweeting out that the job offer better been turned away as soon as that play happened, because that's all you need to see of him right there, which you're right. I mean, besides Zeke, Pollard, Schultz, and CD, what do you have offensively? What innovation or what?
I don't know if we can even name Zeke in that, but go ahead.
Right, and I agree, you know. And, you know, you can get rid of him. But obviously, like, I mean, your number two wide receiver, you struggled all season with between Gallup and Noah Brown. And, you know, I mean, you brought in T.Y. for whatever run you wanted to have that with. But it's just there's no development. There's no progress.
Progression. Because it was insane to pay Amari Cooper, right? That's what they told us. When they could have had Amari Cooper and CD as he started to develop into a true one. And then, you know, you got a little firepower back there. You know, that looks a little scary. What you have now is CD and Prey. So good luck with them with the defense and everything else. But, man, we
– Right.
Oh,
and you'd rather pay that money to Zeke Elliott. And look where that's turned into, where you're probably, most likely going to cut him. Right?
That's right. The only team who said we'll pay the running back before the quarterback. But we also got to remember this, too. As a player, the NFLPA, like any other organization, it is their job to push you to change the dynamics of the next contract. So when Lamar's pushing for the guaranteed money that Deshaun got, that's his job. Matter of fact, as a caretaker to the next generation of NFL players that come behind you, it is your job to move the needle and push that contract a little further. So Lamar is doing what he's supposed to do. You're a quarterback. You have all the chips on your side as far as leverage. So, yeah, you try to get as much as you can. And to the people who say, well, you need a quarterback on a rookie deal to win and all that other stuff, GMs get paid too. When you have a quarterback on your roster who you know in 3 years you're going to have to pay, adjust your roster accordingly. Adjust your drafts accordingly. Think about those things in long term. Like, we give GMs, like, this, we give them a get-out-of-jail-free card and say, well, it's hard, man. You got to pay that guy. I'd rather have the guy and have to pay him and figure it out than be the team who can't find the guy. Ask the Jets how tough that is.
Ask the Colts. I mean, Ballard.
Ask the Colts, right?
So, Ballard's being crucified, and he's still getting away with it from the owner for somehow here locally. So it's, yeah, totally agree with that.
Yeah, okay. So how is that going in Indy? Like, are people saying you should have been drafted somebody? Why are you doing this thing where you think you can just plug in a quarterback? Like, how are people speaking about it there?
They are ready to put him on a crucifix and burn him at the stake for 2 years now. people don't understand where he doesn't like – they said he likes to trade his draft picks too much. You have the cap space. He talks about cap space, and then you don't spend the money, and you have the most cap room in the history – or in the league for the year. And then he's like, well, we need to work on – his quote preseason was, wide receivers are a dime a dozen, and we'll find somebody to put in there. Well, guess what? That wasn't the case. Your offensive line, you overpaid for a – I will tell you, the fan base here is at its wit's end with Chris Ballard. And they're a little upset with Ursay, what he's doing, because he kept Chapagano 1 year too long, and they're keeping Ballard a year too long. You need to have a new GM come in with a new QB. I feel like he likes him too much, and it's good golly gee – let's keep Chris, see what he can do.
What's up? He's blaming the general manager. Who signed the checks?
You're blaming Ursay.
Yeah.
Who got Jeff? Wait a minute. Who got Jeff Saturday here? It wasn't Ballard.
No, it wasn't. No, Ballard said it wasn't
him. That was a hot mess.
Interview after the season, which was amazing. But shout out to Chuck Pagano. Hall of Fame soundbite man. Like, he is one of the greatest coaches for soundbites ever. He would just say ridiculous one-liners, and that junk would be hilarious, but it would always be simple stuff. But, yeah, you're right. Y'all kept them probably a year or two.
Nas, what they're doing now, like, I think they've had the most first-round interviews with head coaches that in the history of the league. They had 11 first-round interviews. A single one of them met with Jim Ursay, so it was all Ballard. And it's interesting now, the second round of interviews was down to 7 candidates. It was supposed to start today, but we had a huge snowstorm here. Huge snowstorm in Indy today. Saturday couldn't do it. It's just window dressing. He's following I hate to say this, I really do. I am damn sure that he wants to give it to Saturday. He just wished he had a better finish to the season instead of losing 8 straight or whatever it was. He's following the Rooney Rule. He's interviewed – majority of his interviews have been African-American coaches. So he's trying to overdo the Rooney Rule. That way people get off his butt. So when he says, hey, we're hiring Jeff Saturday, they can say, well, you were going to do that all the time. Well, no. We interviewed these 11 guys. I had 7 or 8 African-American coaches. We're good. Mm-hmm. We're good.
Let's get into that for a second, though, because that would actually be the opposite of following the Rooney Rule. That would be circumventing the Rooney Rule by exploiting the loophole within it.
You are exactly 100%
right. The loophole within it is if you're calling somebody to come in for a job in good faith or not. So if you're just calling somebody a la Jerry back in the day when he called Sherman Lewis while he was on his fishing boat to kind of check the box and get it over with, then, yeah, you're exploiting the Rooney Rule and actually showing that the Rooney Rule is necessary because people don't want to treat other people right. They want to do what they've been doing. This even and this is the funniest part. We see Black Monday every year. We see changeover, turnover at the coaching position across the NFL in unprecedented levels, and yet still they want to do the good old boy hiring system and just hire people from within what they know. Like, if y'all really want to look up something, look up Sean McVay. No, the McVay and the Gruden family history. You just look up this history of these two families who, this goes back to their grandfathers, who have hired each other at every stop along the way in their NFL careers and kept each other employed. And you just watch that tree start to unfold. You get an idea about the nepotism and good old boy club that the NFL is. And again, I'm not saying that just because somebody's black, they're going to be a good coach. Of course not. But you want to draw from a deeper pool. You want to draw from as many candidates as possible to get the best one. But if you're only drawing from the small three-peat pool, guess what you get? Black Monday every year where coaches get turned over. So
And the NFL said it perfectly in December when they sent out a memo to all the owners and said collectively they've spent over $800 million in salary on fired coaches and fired offensive executives over the last 5 years, $800 million.
Dude, Roger Goodell is probably pulling his hair out. He's like, dude, I just want y'all to do right. If y'all just do right, I can get out of the way, and this will move on its own. But the fact that you guys are so unwilling to listen to anybody and all you want to do is hire your friends and your contacts, then we're going to keep having these problems. Like, I think Roger's been trying his best, but again, he's their employee. He works for them, so all he can do is try to persuade. He can't make it.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Well, Nas, my man, it was a pleasure having you again. Continue to call in, buddy, we'll see you next time.
Hey, anybody in Indy, better get your money in now on T.J. McConnell. He's about to go crazy again, probably another triple-double. So get in there and get your prop bets in. Easy money. I'm giving it away.
There we go. Appreciate it. Thanks, Nas.
Thanks, call me.
All right, John, that's our guy Nas calling in as always. Great, great dude, great caller. Speaking of bets, I love how you transition there. AFC, NFC, AFC championship right now, John. It opened up at Chiefs -3 when it first opened the day of after the game as the NFC Cowboys game was going on. It's now Bengals -1. I think it moved basically with the fact of the history between these two teams and the fact that Mahomes' injury wasn't too sure. I went in today and got Chiefs at +1 at home. I put money on it. Give me the Chiefs underdog at home with the best quarterback, Patty Mahomes. There's that. And then the NFC championship is Eagles 49ers. Eagles are 2.5-point favorites at home. Usually the home team gets 3. So there is some buy a little bit on the 49ers in this game. I would like to put something on the 49ers, but like I said, Brock Purdy on the road. He hasn't played a good team on the road yet. Not sure what to think of it. And the Eagles are hitting on all three cylinders of the game, offensive, defensively, and special teams. And it's a home game. Give me the Eagles. I think it's their year. I think it's Chiefs and Eagles. It's the Andy Reid game, Andy Reid versus in the Super Bowl. I think that's the matchup we're going to get.
Wow, man. It's pretty
chalky.
There, Brad. Nah, man, it's not. I like the Eagles as well, man. I just think it's going to be a whole lot closer than what people might think. That defense can travel, will travel. That defense is happy to be here. Back at this position, and technically, Brandon, you might have a better quarterback than Garoppolo. Garoppolo probably won't be here next year. You know what I'm saying? Probably meaning like 98%. I know he re-signed up or whatever, and they might keep him as insurance. That's a possibility as well, but like, you got your quarterback right there. You got your quarterback right there. You're right back in, you know what I'm saying, in position. So,
well, let's see what happens in this game here before we crown him the starting quarterback next year, because I have a feeling if TB12 comes from down in Florida there.
No way. No way. Brandon, they can't.
Or,
they can't, no.
Or
they,
Aaron Rodgers from Green Bay. I think either one of them, they would say, oh, Mr. Purdy, guess
what,
you're to the bench.
Neither. The San Francisco 49ers scouting department is not dealing with. Dude, man, you about to open a can of Aaron Rodgers. Who is he?
Let's talk about him.
Brandon, he ain't been good. Oh, man, the Chiefs going to get mad. They're going to get mad, Brandon. 26 touchdowns. 26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I think that's what he did this year. Dude, it has not been when they win the Super Bowl back in 2011, 2015.
Yeah, they beat my Steelers.
Sorry, Brandon. Anyway, they only got one Super Bowl. I'm not saying only like that. That's like, you know what I'm saying, you can list, you know what I'm saying, sell wolf tickets at it. But, like, no, it hasn't been 45 and 8. I think that's one of his best seasons where he threw 45 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. It hasn't been like that. Now, you can say anybody, as homie Nas, who tried to enlighten me, like you can enlighten a light bulb. He says it's all about who else you play with. You know what I'm saying? I'm just teasing with Nas if he's still listening. I hope he is. But, like, no, it's all about who you play with. But, like, Aaron Rodgers, they gave the super bag to because they said it ain't about who you play with. It's about who played with me. He says these things to the brass of the front office, and that's why he got
right.
to make a deal.
Well,
right?
He also knows he's saying that they need to redo my contract if I'm going to stay in Green Bay, it's going to be redone to get more people there.
How the frick can we do your – oh, my God. All right, now you want to ride out from the Raiders to come back? Stop it, man. Dude, you know what? There's no way. This is what I'm trying to tell you. There's no way that you don't hear this kind of mess out of San Francisco. They're not dealing with Aaron Rodgers' drama. That dude is a soap opera. He broke up with his girlfriend. I read it on my Yahoo People magazine. She was up there commenting, like, dude, that's what he wants. He ain't about winning those Super Bowls no more.
Can I give
I
you
a – Brandon, I'm glad the Colts ain't got enough capital to get to talk to Green Bay. He ain't trying to win no Super Bowl. If they
can I give you the Vegas odds?
He ain't winning no Super Bowl, dude.
I've got the Vegas odds up on the Facebook Live page. The Packers are still the favorites at -125. Second are the Jets at +250. Third's the Raiders.
Goodness.
Yes. Third's the Raiders at +500. Fourth is the Colts at +550. And then Tennessee and then Tampa.
Brandon, you know the Jets, you can sell water to a well in New York. You can sell the Jets that, and they think they can get to the – they still couldn't beat the Buffalo Bills. They still couldn't
so
get out
to,
of their own
I'm trying
game
to picture that analogy. How about you can sell the Jets oceanside property in Arizona?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
There we go.
Absolutely. They would believe it. They would believe it. It's 26 and 10, dude. It ain't getting no better. It's not getting no better. No matter who he plays with. Because what, he's going to start blaming the receivers? Well, you should have ran left. I told you to run right. No, you didn't, Aaron. The place they go left.
Well, let's think about it.
He
lost in the game.
He already
got
Mike McCarthy fired. Dude, Aaron Rodgers, stay in Green Bay, dude.
Okay. Super Bowl winners odds right now. I think I've got the clip. Yep, there we go. Eagles right now lead the way at +240, Bengals +250, Chiefs +270, and the 49ers are +330 currently. So
yeah,
right now, Eagles, go ahead.
I had them going to the Super Bowl, the Eagles. On the other side, I got the Bengals going to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I got them upset in Kansas City.
Okay, perfect. I want to look. We talked about Aaron Rodgers' futures. I want to bring up Brady's now. Brady's futures on him. When I was down there, John, for the week, talk of town was that's it for Brady in Tampa.
Right.
He's going somewhere else next year because the way the salary is with the team down there and who they got to re-sign and stuff, that it's not going to be financially feasible for doing that. So where's next for Brady? The odds are showing still the Bucs at +150, but it also has the Raiders at +150. Obviously, the Josh McDaniel connection there and the fact that Carr is no longer going to be the quarterback there. The 49ers are third at +750, the Dolphins at +900, and then the Jets at +1,000, and the Patriots at +1,200. Colts are 12th on that list. But there is a chance that Brady, I can see him, my two choices. I think it's either going to be Vegas or it's going to be the 49ers. I really, really do. I think it's going to be one of those two teams. And if you're smart right now, I think you do the 49ers because look at the teams that are left and the quarterbacks there. You don't have to go to the AFC where it's Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, Herbert. I mean, you know, and you only have a couple years left, right? So if you go to the 49ers, you're going to be one of the top. So you're going to stay out west. You're going to be one of the top quarterbacks still out there. You're better than that.
Brandon, you got to think about what's the reload the Rams going to look like. What's the reload?
Rams are too far away, my man. It's going to be a couple more years.
I know everybody. Well, I'm just saying they're going to heal up. They're not necessarily going to bring in like free agents or whatever. They're going to heal up because this year was basically like a year of them licking their wounds. You know what I'm saying? But again, we also remember what's going on in Seattle. They have a boatload of picks. You know what I'm saying? I think they re-signed Geno Smith as insurance policy, and they might go out and get one of these quarterbacks, these young quarterbacks, and they'll be throwing it up where they still got a good defense. And
if you're looking at Brady, if you're Tom, you're only looking a couple years, right? Max. He's already 45, John.
Go home to San Francisco.
They have a defense. They have wide receivers. They have an explosive running back. And a hybrid with Debo.
I don't know, Brady. I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to put some money on the DraftKings now that Tom Brady will take snaps in San Francisco next year. I'm going to do it.
You going to do it?
I'm doing it. It's plus 900, of course. That's 9-1.
Brandon, I know the ex-wife is seeing somebody else currently. I think Tom Brady loves football. I also think he loves his family. And this is where he is being torn apart at. Because his wife said, football or me, and she was serious.
Tom's been dating that one model down in Tampa.
I read some of the local Tampa articles
about her.
Yeah, this is all window dressing. You know what I mean? And I know this is the internet radio, so I ain't going to say nothing too crazy.
Well, don't his parents live in California? It'd be a hell of a lot easier for them to go to the games.
Man,
you stay in the NFC.
If it's not, I think it will never be the Jets. It will never, ever, ever be the Jets.
49ers.
It will never be.
So
maybe Miami or retire.
I think that Miami thing went out the window back when it got salty with the fines and everything from the NFL. So, moving on, John, Indianapolis Colts. We talked about it. Interviews, they're down to 7 or 8 candidates. Their first round of interviews, none of them met with Irsay. Second round of interviews was supposed to start today, but due to the weather, Jeff Saturday couldn't come and meet in person, which is baffling to me. You knew this storm was coming in, so you should have been there in person. But if you're meeting in person, you've already met with him, right? Or you've had how many weeks?
Or why wasn't his
Jeff Saturday? You already know what the hell's
going
on with him.
Yeah, why wasn't his interview immediately after?
Right, exactly.
Rams
defensive coordinator Raheem Morris will have his second interview for the Colts job on Friday. Indy search is now accelerating a bit. It's accelerating per Albert Breer. So Raheem Morris will have his interview this Friday. The team wanted to be Ivero. The Broncos defensive coordinator, he'll be having his second interview, I believe, tomorrow. And Dan Quinn, Cowboys defensive coordinator, will be having his interview as well, I think Friday. They want to interview D'Amico Ryans from the 49ers defensive coordinator, but since the 49ers are still in it, now it's the point where they can't interview any teams, any of the four final teams, Eric Bieniemy, again, any of them. They cannot interview them now until after February 13th. Which is the day after the Super Bowl. As of now, if you want to interview one of the top four teams left, you have to wait for your second interview or whatever till the 13th. I don't see the Colts wanting to wait that long, even though they said they would. It's not going to happen. So you got Jeff Saturday, Dan Quinn, Ivero, and Raheem Morris to interview for that head coaching position.
Brandon, you know what it sounds like? Sounds like Jeff Saturday is going to be the head coach, and one of these other dudes has been coming in here flying by night. One of these defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, whatever. Whether it's I don't know. You mentioned Dan Quinn, Brian Callahan. It would be a get for me. But he ain't been one of the names they said to come back. He got interviewed, but he didn't get a second interview. But again, but it sounds like one of these coordinators is going to be on the staff, maybe as an overpaid OC, DC. Who knows, man? But it sounds like Jeff Harris is going to be the head coach. And I'm not going to fall out of my seat when they announce it.
I agree. Totally agree. John, let's hit a couple ad reads. When we come back after the ads, we'll hit up the hoops. We'll hit the hardwood, college and pros. We'll hit those up as soon as we come back. Stay with us.
Good.
Crossroads Sports would like to thank Wiseman Logistics. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. Services, domestic or commercial, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Call 877-744-6212 to set up your delivery. Thanks, Wiseman.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I also want to thank our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born, specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, MaverickCustomMotorsports.com. Let them know Crossroads Sports sent you. All right, we are back. Thank you to our sponsors, all three of you. Could not do this without you. JB, I want to say thank you to you for keeping the boat afloat while I was out. You had great Facebook conversations, great Instagram. I saw even some midweek updates. The Joe Dumars conversation. Hey, I love it, love it, love it. Couldn't get enough of it. So it was great to see. And you're passionate about the Joe Dumars thing, man. You want to talk about that real quick?
Nah, man. If anybody wants to check it out, man, it's something we kind of already talked about here on the Crossroads Sports Show. It's just something. So, like, while you were gone, you know what I'm saying, you have to think about things, man, to try to keep the creative juices flowing, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows Crossroads Sports, at least in this incarnation, is a two-man operation, man. And me and Brandon bring sports content from NBA, you know what I'm saying, so on and so forth, NFL, so on and so forth, man. But, like, with you go on hiatus or I go on hiatus, man, the show must go on, like Vince McMahon says, right? So I'm more – you know what I'm saying? You know, everybody, you know what I'm saying, does Twitter or, you know what I'm saying, does Twitter and Facebook or whatever, Instagram. You know, I mean, those are the platforms we have, right? But, yeah, man, it just the opportunity was there, right? You know what I'm saying? You flirted with it. I flirted with it, man. It's a great tool to get out information, to get out, you know what I'm saying, whether it's about where me and you are going to be at our next game or whatever, whether it's at Butler or, you know, IUPUI or wherever, Purdue, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's a good tool to get information out, man. But, like, yeah, man, we turned it up while you were gone. Heck, even Brandon even snuck in a video or two there. So I encourage everybody listening to it right now, man. Go to the Crossroads Sports Instagram page, man. You know what I'm saying? Check out the story. You can check out our sponsors as well, whether it's Mavericks Custom Motorsports. There's links up there to check out the content that they have and all the things that they have for sale as well. Wiseman Logistics, they're constantly hiring at Wiseman because, like, the logistics business, my goodness, Brandon, it's opening. Wiseman has opened up another facility to be announced. But, like, again, yeah, all our sponsors can be found there. Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, another one can be found there at our various socials. And, but like I said, Instagram is probably like the most one that we kind of just overindulge in. You know what I'm saying? Me and Brandon haven't necessarily gotten into TikTok just yet. I can't, you know what I mean? But it's coming, right? But no, man, I encourage everybody listening to this thing to check out the Crossroads Sports Instagram page, man. A lot of cool things, you know what I'm saying, going on there. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, for sure, man. But anyway, we're glad that you're back, Brandon. So where do you want to start at as far as college basketball or pro?
Let's talk college basketball. Let's talk the number one team in the country, the Purdue Boilermakers. John, new polls came out.
Man, I got
Boilermakers
I got
back
for
to
that
number one. Right now, John, they're getting very close to they're creating space, and there's a lot of parity right now in college basketball. Right now, if you look at the standings and the rankings, even you've got, you know, Alabama and Houston there, but I mean, you got Tennessee with three losses, Kansas State two losses, Arizona, but Purdue 19-1. They've made ground. They've put themselves a little bit of a cushion in the conference. They're two games up on everybody else right now, currently in the Big Ten. Painter even said the other day on a podcast I was listening to that he is baffled that they do rankings, how early they do the rankings and put preseason rankings out when people don't know basketball that's putting it out there, says, oh, well, Purdue lost the lottery pick guy. They don't have a point guard here. We'll just put him as not ranked. They're going to be not ranked. Like, the rankings, and we've mentioned this, that the rankings don't really need to come out until later on, I would say January at the earliest, to give yourself true rankings for basketball. But Purdue's now back to number one in the country again, 19-1. They're 8-1 in the conference. They have a two-game lead up on Rutgers, Michigan, and Northwestern. Huge game tomorrow for Purdue. They take on at Michigan there. But Boilermakers, Zach Edey, this team, they're finding a way. I watched them. They were on the TV when we were at dinner down in Florida, and that was when they put the huge thumping on Minnesota. Big thumping on Minnesota. My God.
Big thumping.
How about them Boilermakers?
Yeah, man, they lost one game. I actually made a video about them before the game when they beat Maryland. That was another close one, man. I think why if we were talking about another team, Brandon, a Duke, a North Carolina, somebody, I'm not trying to reminisce nobody's face, man. Somebody, a team, a program that's won a national championship. You know what I'm saying? I think there would be more buy-in with Purdue. But here's what's crazy, though, Brandon. Here's what's crazy, and I know you know this, man. Like, there's no other team in Big Ten history that has more Big Ten championships than Purdue. Mm-hmm. You know, so what does that translate? What does that mean? That means they go into the tournament. I'm not saying they don't come with that. They don't say that arrogantly. I'm saying it arrogantly for them. They're going to the tournament. They have a number one seed already locked up. We just don't know if it's number one overall. But we know it's the number one seed. They're going to be number one. They're probably going to be the number one team in the Midwest.
Because there's nobody else in their region that's playing well, if you look at it, besides Kansas maybe. But that's it.
Right.
There's no Villanova.
Right.
So, there's no Carolina.
Kansas had a slide here as late. But, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But, like, no, Purdue plays the old-fashioned way, outside in. Their reserves take a high-quality shot. Everybody plays defense. Everybody's committed to winning. You know what I'm saying? Could it be more sexy?
Yeah.
Could Mason Gillis average more like 10 points? He's averaging like 7. Sure. Could Caleb First, they need more output, you know what I'm saying, scoring out of him? Absolutely. But when you look at what's the one kid, Fletcher? What's his name, Brandon? Fletcher Lawyer.
Lawyer.
I mean, oh, my goodness, Brandon, he's just a freshman. But he's the second leading scorer right now. So the reason why it's close, they had these close games because they were always in them because I think sometimes they get a little gas looking, and not gas from like they don't have any legs or anything. They're just looking for like offense. Like they play that hard, and that's what you want out of your college basketball team. I get it, man. It's not pretty. Zach Edey, you know, it's 7'2", 7'3", whatever the heck it is, but it's efficient now to the point where they allow him to have turnovers, but it's not like they don't trust him to go back into that. Like, dude, he's a walking double-double machine. If you had said 2 years ago Zach Edey was going to the NBA, man, people would be like, man, what NBA are you talking about? Right now, that's not necessarily something that you can just say, oh, nah, Zach Edey won't get his name. I think he gets his name called late first round, maybe second round. I really do.
Let me ask you this.
Like, go ahead.
Because it was brought up on a radio show this morning I was listening to. If Zach Edey wasn't at Purdue, say he was in Europe playing, mm-hmm. wouldn't they be all over him right now saying this guy's going to be a top 5 pick?
I don't know, Brandon, because just like how we're going to pick on Trace Jackson Davis here in a little bit when we talk about IU, it's not really necessarily from the outside. Like, it's still like the question marks for him going to the next level would be, yes, man, when he gets in the paint, it's 2 points. And yes, man, when he does get fouled, he shoots. I think he shoots in the low 70s.
That's
pretty good. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to get rebounds, and you can see that he can get up and down the floor. What problematically might be is, like, in space. What does that look like? Can he defend in space when centers and power forwards kind of pull him out from the block? You know what I'm saying? Offensively, they know he can play. Like I said, space and also him necessarily clogging the lane on offense. That could be an issue for him too. But like, I think he can play. But I don't necessarily think they would be talking about, oh wow, you know what I'm saying, just yet. Not necessarily if he played from overseas or something like that. I don't necessarily think so. But I think he's NBA talent for sure. Now,
yeah, and I guess we need to start doing this because we're talking NBA. We got obviously the NBA is going on. We're going to have the draft here soon, but we got to do our lottery simulations, right? For everything. And we already know the number one and number two players. It's pretty simple. And, Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson going to go 1-2, but we got to keep it going for our Indiana. Right now, with the 14th pick in the 2023 NBA draft, they have the Indiana Pacers to select Bryce Sensabaugh, freshman, small forward, Ohio State. Averaging 26-8.
Man, there's gonna be a lot of young guys, man. It's crazy, man. There's still Brandon, there's a lot of still upperclassmen or like that junior level talent that's still out there. When I think about some of the ACC, I know there's a lot of people not necessarily paying to the ACC right now. I think Miami's leading. The University of Miami is leading the ACC. I do believe in that conference. Go ahead.
Can I tell you who I've been watching a lot lately? I've been watching Alabama play, and when I watch Brandon Miller, the freshman, 6'9", 200, he's going to have a good NBA career.
You think so?
Yeah, D-Con, we're taking calls. He's going to have a great NBA career, and watching some of his Alabama games, you know who he reminds me of? And you can call me crazy, but I want you to go back and watch some of his highlights and then go back and watch the highlights of this guy when he was at Fresno State. He is a young Paul George. I'm telling you, the highlights, the athleticism, the body build is exact same of Paul George, this Brandon Miller kid.
Okay.
They have him going third right now in the draft to Detroit, but he's averaging 21-9. The dude's body, his playmaking ability, his athleticism, his comparison to a young Paul George. I just think I just saw it. I had to say something about it. I need to watch more of Amen Thompson and Asur Thompson. They play for that overtime elite in the G League. So I haven't really watched them, but they're twin brothers. Both of them are 6'7", 200 pounds. They have them going 4 and 5 in the draft. So I need to get looking
at
them.
Wait, Brandon, you already know I do the deep college guys, man. Like I was saying, man, Mashburn Jr. out here in New Mexico, killing it. Mike Davis' son up in Detroit Mercy, killing it. Armando Babcock, he just broke Tyler Hansbrough's all-time rebound record in North Carolina. So there's still college-level guys that we're probably going to see. I'm not saying these dudes are going to be lottery picks, man, but these are guys that they're still going to make rosters and still make impact at some point. And they're still having, you know what I'm saying, impact on their college season.
Yeah, totally agree. So Purdue, obviously, number one. We've talked about them. They're going to have a tough one in Michigan coming up. Let's talk Indiana Hoosiers, John. Hoosiers should have – they have one tonight. No Mike Woodson coaching because of COVID. Hoosiers 13-6. It looked rough for them, but now they've started to find their way. They've won three in a row. Race Thompson is back. Minnesota's going to be without their top two leading scorers, and they're actually going to have only six players to play tonight. Minnesota is. So you would think I usually go up to Minnesota, get themselves an easy win. Minnesota's 1-7 in the conference. But the Hoosiers, they're at Minnesota. They're home this – Saturday against or Sunday against Ohio State, and then they go to Maryland. They bring the number one Boilermakers to town on the 4th of February. Hoosiers got together a big quality win. They won by double digits against Wisconsin at home. They won by double digits against Illinois, and they won by double digits against Michigan State. They're trending the right way now. Thoughts on the Hoosiers?
They needed it. They needed it coming out of those two losses against Penn State, Northwestern. You know what I'm saying? They needed it. And then, like, people were saying, Trace Jackson Davis in the NBA, how the hell do you see that? You know what I'm saying? Now, he's had a hell of a three-game run where he's, like, averaging damn near 30-some points a game. But we can't – I mean, like, Brandon, I think he has improved his chances of getting drafted, getting selected or whatever. But that's not – it's not get like, dude, they got to get to the tournament. That is what Indiana has got to get back to the tournament. And, like, you know what I'm saying? They even got to start thinking, like, they got to beat Purdue, sweep Purdue. Because, like, this is Indiana basketball. How long are we going to have to keep on kicking the tires and hoping, like, we are 22-11. They called our name on Selection Sunday because we won one big tournament game and we're back. I'm not here to poo-poo what Trace Jackson Davis has done, man. You know what I'm saying? As far as in this three-game little microcosm that we've seen, man, it's very impressive, man. But it looked like last year in the tournament because they didn't have a long – you know what I'm saying? They had a play-in game, and then they had a bounce out, right? And he came back, and the whole campaign – Brandon, the whole campaign, like, over the summer was like, how can we make Trace Jackson – Davis get back into the NBA target. I'm like, man, wait a minute. I thought Indiana was supposed to get back into the – it was sending mixed messages for me. Indiana supposed to get back to the Final Four. The kid was saying the same – he was saying some similar things, like we need to get back to the Final Four and I need to improve my game. But I'm like, man, the Final Four is where you want to be. So anyway, man, Brandon, they've done because they reacted to losing. So there was some coaching there. You know what I'm saying? Northwestern and Penn State, Brandon, they – come on. That used to be like games you'd automatically mark up as wins. Now, I don't know. Again, they went on the three-game streak. Looks like they're going to keep on streaking until they play Purdue. And then, you know what I'm saying, we all know all hell's going to break loose because that's rivalry week, right? But what I'm trying to say, Brandon, is like those two losses are going to look – I mean, I don't know. Are they going to hold them back if they have a bad loss in the tournament? Like, let's say they get to the Big Ten tournament and lose. What does that look like from, like, a quad? Like, you know, the Northwestern and Penn State, those have got to be – even though they're – I think they're, like, one-point loss or two-point loss, something crazy like that. But those are bad losses. I don't care how you slice it. Because
well,
those teams, you
Northwestern was one. Penn State was 19.
Okay.
Iowa was two. So.
Okay. Well, I was going to make the tournament.
Yeah.
I was going to make the tournament. But Brandon, you know what? This year, the Big Ten can't be arrogant is what I'm trying to say because I don't
think. They only have one team ranked in the whole top 25.
Right. So seven teams is not going to the Big Ten tournament. I mean, going to the NCAA tournament this year. I think.
Well, you just said Iowa was, and right now they are ninth.
Are they ninth? They got them ninth, so they got to win. They got to.
They're tied with Wisconsin and Indiana.
Okay, so again, like I said, man, somebody's gonna have to start winning. So not only some regular.
But John, Northwestern loss is not a bad loss. Northwestern's 13-5. They're 4-3 in the conference. They're fourth. Northwestern's got a good year.
I know. Well, we haven't had that show, but I don't. Man, they ain't played nobody in their preseason. They had some. They had some cupcakes for Northwestern. Can you believe that? but listen, Brandon, I think there's been a shift. I think there's going to be more Big 12 teams that get in their tournament this year than Big 10 teams.
Big 12? Let me bring up while you're talking. I'll bring
not
up
Oklahoma,
their...
not Oklahoma, because Homie is having a bad season. Not Oklahoma. But Kansas
State. Yeah, Iowa State 15-4, Kansas State 17-3, Texas 17-3, TCU 16-4, Baylor 15-5, and Kansas 16-4. That's six teams in the Big 12 ranked.
Yeah, if six teams for the Big Ten get in, it'd be right at six. I don't know if Michigan is getting in.
Yeah, that's all your teams because Oklahoma State's 11-9.
Right.
But yeah, the rest of it's 11-9, 11-9, 11-8, 10-9. They're not getting in. It's yeah, that's your six. Let's get in for the Big 12. By ACC, yeah. I mean, Clemson Tigers,
I think
17-4, 9-1.
I think Clemson gets in, man. They got a player.
I hope so. 17-4. Virginia,
yeah,
Tony
in.
Bennett's squad
Miami.
Ranked 7th, 15-3.
Yep.
Miami, 16-4.
Yep.
Duke, rough year, 14-6. 5-4 in the conference.
Yep. Transitional year.
What we got to do, man? Butler Bulldogs, 11-10, 3-7 in the third to last.
They should have hired Sean Miller. They should have hired Sean Miller. I'm sorry. They went back in the past, and I know Tanner, the homie. I know he's listening. If he ain't, he'll be listening later. But I know he went to a game recently, and he thinks there's a little bit more hope and light at the end of the tunnel. Man, it's not pretty. They lost by 30. They lost by 30. Was that the Providence? To UConn. And UConn's good, but it ain't. You would think you lose the 30, man. Who was out there? Rip Hamilton and Jesus Shuttleworth. They had everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Playing that game, no, they didn't. But man, Butler. What we gonna do? Man, they better hope they get some NIL recruits next year.
John, so I'm looking at Joe Lenardi's bracket, first bracket. The second bracket mm-hmm. he's had come out now. He has 10 teams from the Big Ten.
Stop it. Maryland?
10 teams, 8 from the Big 12, 7 in the ACC, 5 in the SEC, 5 in the Big East, 3 Mountain West, 3 Pac-12, 2 American, and 1 WC or 2 WCCs. 10 in the Big 10.
I can't see it.
Purdue, Iowa. Give me a second. I'm going through them right now. Michigan State, Ohio State.
They're going to have sub 500 records.
Well, I mean, right now they're sub 500, but some of them. But, I mean, Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana. Ooh, they have Indiana against Oral Roberts. 5-12 matchup. That'll scare some Hoosier fans. Bring back some memories. Rutgers. Northwestern's a play-in against Arizona State. My Maryland is 11 seed as well. And
I forgot about that. That was my 16. Thank you. I thought it was my 16.
Yeah. Yeah. And Penn State. Penn State's also in the play-in 12 against Kentucky.
There's
Kentucky
no way.
Is 12 seed, John.
That's
tell
because
me.
Of our name brand. That's because of our
tell
name brand. But they went on a win streak. They did go on a win streak, too. They reacted. Cal probably had the coach his little ass off that week, and he got his team to react to some wins, man. But that team, I couldn't put no money on Kentucky anything.
Let me ask you this: who needs it more this weekend? Because you have Kentucky versus number 9 Kansas, national television.
Kansas needs that. Baylor call him sleeping. Kansas needs that. Just so they can stay in the top 10 and be relevant. I mean, because they'll still be relevant, but they want
that rough.
You know what I'm saying? They want to get back into. Doesn't matter. They want to get back into, one seed, two seed conversation as far as the tournament is concerned.
Okay. If I'm looking at them right now, both of them are averaging 75 points a game. They're both giving up 66, 46% for Kansas from the field, 45 Kentucky. Rebounds are the same. Assists are the same. Blocks are the same. Kansas lost 3 in a row. Kentucky's won 4 in a row. They're streaking. So. I think it's going to be a good Saturday night, 8 p.m. I will not be watching. I'll be watching the Rumble. We'll talk about it here shortly. But, yeah, Kansas and Kentucky, that's going to be a good one. John, switching over gears to NBA real quick. We've got about 30 minutes left in the show. Pacers, a little bit of a slide since Tyrese Halliburton went down with his injury at Madison Square Garden. They came back, got a win last night against the Bulls after a horrific first quarter. The first quarter tonight against Orlando started out town 10-0. So Pacers are going to be a little bit of a struggle. They're one game below 500 right now. But the rumor mill's going around, John. You know, now the Pacers are interested in possibly trading Buddy Hield and or Chris Duarte, which we've talked in the past. Hield, we'd love to keep, but he's a good value if you do need to trade him for something.
Right.
Duarte,
right.
His time, unfortunately, has probably ran out here in Indiana. shooting horribly, injuries, not a very clogged number two and number three position here in Indiana. So not going to be very many minutes for him. So looking for him to possibly be gone. And the Miles Turner contract saga, him turning down the contract extension, I think it's almost now that, hey, if that's hardball for – and we talked about it with DeCop previously – if that's hardball for him to try to work out another contract, Pacers brought theirs to the table. Now he's going to bring his to the table. We'll see. Or it's him just saying, hey, listen, man, we've done our time. It's time for us to part ways. Then the Pacers need to find a trade for him to get some kind of value right now you're getting out of him, because he's having his best year.
Yeah, you don't want to necessarily give Miles Turner away. What I know of NBA contracts, Brandon, it's a fair deal. Miles Turner has never sniffed an All-Star game. Miles Turner has never sniffed a NBA All first team or second team. So how can Miles Turner even ask or even think that the $22 million per year that he would be making after next year, after making $18 million this year, after also he would get another $19 million just for signing the contract, so he would basically be making like $39 million this year if he signed the extension. He would make $39 million this year and then $22 million, you know what I'm saying, going further, however many years the term of the contract.
Right.
Right. We know Miles Turner to be a seesaw. The people of Indiana and the Pacer fans know Miles Turner to be a seesaw. I had 12 points tonight, but I had 33 points two nights prior, and the team needed me to score 33 points tonight against Jokic or Embiid or Giannis or somebody, and I didn't do it. But he'll show up. He'll still have a good stat line. Oh, man, he blocked 5 shots. Oh, man, Miles got 10, 6 rebounds, 8, 9 rebounds, man. Oh, man, Miles is 6'3", man, oh, balloon. But Miles is talking about he wants to be paid like an All-Star, but you've never even been to the All-Star game. So, Brandon, it's frustrating for me, man, because he's a homegrown talent. They clearly like him because they've let everybody go except for him. Paul George is gone. Victor Oladipo's gone. Sabonis is gone. Everybody he ever played with is gone. And now he's in a system playing with guys where it kind of matches his talent. And he wants to leave. He wants to bulk at the contract. Can't help him, man. Can't help Legoland. You can't help Legoland. You can only just help buy more Legos and maybe it goes somewhere else, man. I don't know. If I was Miles Turner, I don't think they really want to trade him, though, Brandon. I think they really like him as a person, but from business is going to get in the middle of it, and the Pacers are going to end up with somebody like Obi Toppin or something in return. you know what I'm saying? Sorry. Yeah. But that's what it's going to be, man. The Pacers, I don't understand this Jekyll and Hyde system of being up 10, being down 20, and then winning. But you just like the end result if they win, right? But that streak of them losing, where they lost like 4 in a row, something like that. 7, damn it. I underplayed it. 7 in a row, man. That was like shades of last year. Nobody wants that. Nobody in the Circle City wants shades of last year or anything remotely pretending to be the year before when we had a coach who didn't necessarily fit what the hell anybody wanted, you know what I'm saying? But, like, no, man, they're back in business, man. You would want to kind of keep Buddy Hield. They speak very proudly of him, but, like, again, business kind of gets into that way. And, like, you know, more playoff-hungry teams who are at the top of the food chain need shooter. They need a guy like Buddy Hield. And he's kind of wanting to go there because, like, he wants to play an extended season, you know what I mean? So, When it happens, it's probably a high, more probably high. My personal opinion, but it's probably more high probability that Chris Duarte and Buddy Hield leave before Miles Turner. Just because it has happened before, where they let players just kind of walk away. You know what I'm saying? But the Pacers, because I don't think the Pacers are going to outbid themselves, not in that regard. But I think we're going to definitely Buddy Hield. If there's a deal out there for Buddy Hield and Chris Duarte, for the Pacers to get like any type of assets back, whether it be expiring contracts, where so they can have flexibility financially to bring in another free agent or something, or they can get a late first or second rounder, I say go for it as far as Buddy Hield and Durant is concerned.
Just because they're polarizing, and he's having a hell of a season this year, they're making their way. But the Lakers, John LeBron James, He had 48 last Monday. He had 37 on Sunday. He had 46 last night. I know they had a loss last night against the Clippers, but we're trying to keep the Lakers afloat in the playoffs till AD gets back. They just went out and traded and got Rui Hachimura. I don't think it's enough for them to get where they want to go this year.
No.
I think they still got to make some moves.
I think AD plays tonight.
Is he going to play tonight? I know LeBron is questionable, and he's day-to-day with an ankle, but I don't know if he's going to do a back-to-back tonight. But they need him to play if they're going to have a chance to make the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, there's another deal coming. They just got to get all the parties to agree to it. I've heard McBuckets going to the Lakers. You know, so he's played for
the
Pacers.
I've also heard Bogdanovich.
Yeah. But, you know what I'm saying? Getting moved around. There's going to be some lesser. There's no – unless, like, something crazy, and, you know, there's still, like, smoke there in Atlanta with Trae Young and the coach. Because it's still kind of weird to have 2 point guards in the backcourt. You know what I'm saying, Brandon? Like, why did they bring DeJounte Murray over? You know what I'm saying? Yes, DeJounte Murray can play shooting guard, but, like, him and Trae Young, they're not necessarily the same guy. Trae Young's a gunner. But unless one of those guys is really, like, pissy about being there, they're just kind of, like, there to like, wait. Except for John Collins, there's really no swing for the fences kind of trades out there right now. There's going to be, like, Jay Crowder is definitely going to get moved finally, especially with the Phoenix Suns being sold. The guy, what's his name? Used to play for Robinson. Used to play for Michigan. Now plays for Miami Heat. Duncan Robinson. His contract's probably going to get moved at some point. In Westbrook. Westbrook's probably going to get moved at some point. It's just like where and to who is kind of like the question mark right now. The question marks are kind of pointing somewhere in between San Antonio, Oklahoma, and Orlando is where some of these players are going to kind of. Atlanta's pot for some guys as well.
Let me ask you this, just because I saw it when I was on vacation. I was actually watching the game the night that it happened, and we love our pop culture as well with everything. The Shannon Sharp thing, man. I feel like John Morant's dad's trying to be relevant, and he's not. Like, he's trying to be famous himself and look like Usher. I mean, he looks like Usher's twin. He does.
Right.
What was your whole take on that Shannon Sharp fiasco, man?
I thought it was a bad look, man. I'm glad Shannon did come out and apologize. But these NBA guys and NFL guys, like, they gotta understand the media. And this is us included. If you give the media any little bit of juice, they're gonna try to juice it. So Dylan Brooks and the rest of the players and whatnot were timing back and forth with Shannon because Shannon is on a highly popular TV show that talks about them, you know, saying every day in segments. And I get it; these guys got to go around their town or whatever. Why are you worried about it though? You know what I'm saying? Why are you worried about what Shannon and Skip say or Stephen A say or why am I shouting out those folks? Why are you worried about what John DeBerta? Because you are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they chime in. I mean, it got started and then Shannon, we must remember, he forgot that
he's a talker.
You know what I'm saying? Some of the things Well, he's a king shit talker, always has been, right? But he forgot that. You know what I'm saying? When you also just a paying person. You know, you're not part of the action. You know what I'm saying? So from like a sports entertainment like WWE, I don't know why Vince ain't called Shannon. Because, like, dude, I would have had that dude on the first day. Man, this dude got a lot of heat. But from a like, we know there's a split difference between sports entertainment and real sports, man.
Right,
over the line, over the top. Shannon was wrong. He came out looking better because we knew the apology was coming. Shannon Smart is real smart, and that was all. I think some of that was definitely plotted. You know what I'm saying? And the Memphis Grizzlies just fell for the bait, man, because they're the most talented. Brandon, when you get a chance to look at them the rest of this year, most talented team you ever want to see, definitely You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But undisciplined. Unproven. Undisciplined.
Unproven.
Too. Unproven and man, and this is embarrassing. This is the second time.
Shannon even said he ain't done nothing. And actually, there was a YouTube, or not YouTube, a TikTok video of them at the free throw line. I don't know if I send it to you or not, but them at the free throw line talking shit to LeBron, and LeBron was just tired of hearing it. And he's like, who are you? You ain't done nothing. And then the next day, LeBron got the ball and just dunk-faced on him.
Yeah, I seen it, man. But, yeah. And this is not the guy, man. I like the gritty guys. I like the energy, the young energy that they bring. Again, they are ultra, ultra talented, led by Ja Morant. But, like, and again, Shannon went and apologized. I hope they can just put it back. Because, like, man, it's a black eye that nobody wants to see. Nobody wants to see sportscasters fighting with basketball players.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll switch gears real quick, John. World Professional Wrestling, while it was also out, the news we got one evening, I guess it was on a Wednesday night, we were just sitting down to dinner. Jay Briscoe from Ring of Honor, John, really known, was six-man tag team champions, 13-time Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion with the Briscoe Brothers. Jay Briscoe passed away in a car accident. John, I know you're really big on the Ring of Honor side and seeing him. I got to see some of his stuff. I knew of him. I've seen his work. His brother's wrestling tonight on TNA. Or on TNA. Oh, God. AEW. Tonight. So I'm going to check out that match. But what was your thoughts, obviously with the Jay Briscoe thing and kind of what he meant to the world of professional wrestling?
Man, he meant a whole lot to the world of professional wrestling for the simple fact that they never worked as an over team in the WWE. Like everybody knows WWE is the sense of accomplishment. Like you get on WWE TV, everybody knows you, right? But they kind of carved their own, for whatever reason why they haven't been on anybody's television. You know what I mean? They kind of carved their own little way out. They've wrestled in Japan. They've wrestled all across the United States. They've wrestled all across, the world, Mexico, you name it, all across the world. It's just that weird thing when professional wrestling do, like, they're constantly on the move. Seemingly on the airplane, in a car, in a train, in a van. And, like, man, this is not the first time we've kind of heard anything like this where a professional wrestler was involved in a car accident. And like, I know his family, his daughter was there. She was in the car with him. I know she at some point, because the homie Danny Limelight, again, dude comes on our shows connected to the professional wrestling world, had said that as a news source, because like all those dudes know one another.
Right.
You know what I mean? He said that he sent out information, saying that she had got feeling back in her legs, man. But like, that's how serious of a car accident that Jay Briscoe was in, man. And it's just, for anybody listening, to the show, man, go check out the Briscoes, man. They are a wild bunch. It's like Hillbilly Jim meets Stone Cold Steve Austin. They are a great tag team, kind of like old school mentality, man. And it would have been great to see them on a super big stage. Like they have been on AEW, programming, Ring of Honor programming, Brandon. They have been on Impact Wrestling, NWA Wrestling. Billy Cork is in NWA Wrestling there. But it's just like another – it definitely hit to the wrestling world, because I think they were starting to get some of whatever was kind of holding them back for being on mainstream TV. It was it was getting ready to get over. And they were getting ready to get a moment to be on mainstream TV. But they're going to get their moment tonight. His brother's going to be there fighting Jay Lethal. I haven't watched, Brandon, I'll be honest with you, I haven't watched AEW in quite some time. Man.
I haven't either.
Ever since it got real, like, circus with CM Punk and the Young Bucks. And, like, man, I stopped watching it, man, because, like, they were running a clown show. But I'll watch tonight just because I respect those performers, all of them. And I definitely respect the Briscoe, and Jay Lee was one of my favorites, but I definitely respect the Briscoe brothers, so I definitely going to watch tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Briscoe and Jay Lethal tonight on AEW. And actually today would have been Jay Briscoe's 39th birthday today. So crazy that, with our show tonight as well, and it's he was a week away from his 39th birthday. So rest in peace, Jay Briscoe. Hopefully tonight, I know his brother and Jay Lethal, they'll put on a show. We'll check it out on AEW. Also this week, John, it's time It's one of my favorite pay-per-views of the year. It's the Royal Rumble, John. Vince McMahon, back in 92 when he would play that. The Undertaker, Pat Patterson, Roddy Piper, Hulk Hogan. You can call out these names. The Royal Rumble is this week. I've really liked the way they produced Raw 30 this past week with bringing people back and some of the matches they had. I will say this till the cows come home, John. I think the long storyline that they've been doing here with Sami Uso, you like that? Sami Uso.
Sami Zayn.
With the way the Uso family, the tribal chief, with how they've been, this has been going on since August. And the way they did the tribal court with Jey Uso coming in and saving them, and they've had their own beef and they had their own film for it. And then now how it's going to play into the Royal Rumble this weekend, the final test. And then, like, there's just so much. Is Sammy going to win the Rumble? We have Cody Rhodes coming back. Is Cody Rhodes going to win the Rumble? Is The Rock going to be in the Rumble? What is going to happen?
It's all kind of wild.
There's so much going on here. Even with Vince McMahon coming in back into the damn company.
Right. Vince is back. We don't know if it's going Saudi Arabia. We don't know if Tony Khan's
Comcast. Good Lord.
Comcast. CNN. C-SPAN. Trump might buy. I don't know.
AEW,
you know
shit, the content, right?
So,
what do you think of Rumble this weekend? Good card shaping
up.
No,
man, Logan Paul. Somebody said it in the comments, man. Logan Paul's probably gonna win the Royal Rumble.
Stop it! He ain't gonna win. He'll put on a good show. I don't think he's gonna win. I think it's down to two people. I think they're gonna go Cody Rhodes with the win, which that'd be the most cliche one, which everybody would say, okay, yeah, this sets up his road to WrestleMania, but I think there's a way. Also, it could be Sami Zayn to where.
Wow.
Sami Zayn, it sets him up, and where Roman's like, hey, you know the right thing to do. It's to go after, it's to not go for your title match since I'm the tribal chief. And then Zayn does that. Or there is some weird trickery that happens in the Rumble to where Sami Zayn, how did I say that? Because I had it all written down how I thought it would play out. Where somehow The Rock would be in the final, whatever. He'd come out as number 30. He would be, everybody would love it.
The Rock!
And somehow
so
he comes down, Roman Reigns comes down to the ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comes down to the ring where The Rock is. And he distracts The Rock or whatnot just to, like, hey, he doesn't want The Rock to win because he knows deep down, you'll see it, like, he's panicking that The Rock's in the final, whatever. Sami Zayn proves himself, the final test, throws him out, so Sami Zayn would win, right? Yeah, you're there. And then at Elimination Chamber, The Rock would be one of the Elimination Chamber matches as well for the whatever title you want it to be.
Brandon,
the problem
Rock
is
in the Elimination Chamber, not happening.
Yeah, but listen. Somehow, Roman Reigns would lose his title before WrestleMania, to where it would be The Rock would cause it. The Rock would cause him to lose. That way, it would set up a singles match between The Rock and Roman Reigns. No title on the line. The titles are split because the secondary title will be. I think the championship match at WrestleMania is going to be Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins for the title with a wing belt.
I wouldn't be bad. That would. Right, so you're saying they got to get the title off off Roman.
Yes. I think he loses it at the – I think he loses that title at Elimination Chamber because he has to defend both in the chamber. And I think he loses that one. And you can say The Rock causes interference or his music causes interference or something. In that one, it throws Roman off his game. He loses that one where it sets up Rollins and Rhodes for the title, the WWE Championship at Mania.
We'll talk.
And then
about
the other one,
we'll
the other one is Sami Zayn versus.
Go ahead.
Either Reigns or Zayn has his moment there, or he has it with Roman and them. I just love the storyline. It's been a great storyline all summer and winter.
Yeah, awesome. Right, all year basically. Right.
Yeah.
Brandon, we'll see, man. We'll talk about it. because like you said, Royal Rumble's this weekend, so man, we'll talk about it. But that's a lot of
it is
parts there, but
it is a lot. John, give me your top three favorite Royal Rumble moments, pay per view moments all time.
I don't have no top three, man. Which one is it? When Hulk Hogan got dumped out? That's
just
the best
give me some of your top ones. Give me some of your top memories.
That's the best one. Sid pulled him back out. Ric Flair wins the world title. That's a pretty good one. Hold on, man. Not Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Hacksaw Jim Duggan's King of the Ring. No, he won Royal Rumble.
He won the Royal Rumble for it.
Yeah, he won it. That was pretty good. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels. Course.
Shawn Michaels.
I'll never hate on Shawn Michaels, man. You know,
I'll give you some of mine.
During that time.
Let me give you some of mine. Ric Flair winning the 92 Royal Rumble. Just Ric Flair in there and Bobby Heenan's commentary. I've said it plenty of times. That commentary with Monsoon was great. The Bret Hart Luger Rumble where we had co-winners. That was wild. You've never seen that before. I thought the pay-per-view was great as well because it set up the storyline with Owen and Bret, with Owen kicking his leg out, and as well as everybody and their brother in the locker room beating The Undertaker in the casket match against Yokozuna, and then the Titantron thing where the thing blew up and Undertaker was talking in the casket. Wild. Michaels went in 95, 1 foot. Stone Cold went in 97 where he got thrown out by Bret Hart, and then the referees didn't see it. He came in with a little tomfoolery. That's another great memory. There's just so many. Triple H, when he won the title in 2015, that was
never
wild that he came back and won that championship. Reigns had to defend it. This is one of my favorite pay-per-views. I'm in the process right now of watching all the old Royal Rumbles. I had to stop, obviously, for the wedding and all that, but tonight is Royal Rumble 2000. So we get to watch 2000s at Madison Square Garden. I believe The Rock beats The Big Show, if I remember right, in this one. So right now I'm watching the World Heavyweight the championship matches, Cactus Jack versus Triple H. So, but that's a great pay-per-view.
Oh,
looking forward to it.
Yeah,
WWE is on their product. Even with Vince coming back, Vince says he's not going to get in the creative. They're not going to allow him. So we'll see what happens with Trips and all them. But we'll see what happens with Rumble this weekend. We'll talk about it on Twitter, on Facebook and all that. You'll join the conversations as well. So, I don't have anything else, John. I'm just glad to be back. Not that I didn't have fun when I was doing, but glad to be back. Glad to be back in the swing of things. We're talking sports. We got playoffs. We got college hoops, pro hoops. We got pro wrestling. Baseball season's getting ready to start up. Golf's going. There's trash talking going on in golf with Patrick Reed and Rory. Don't even get me started on that. That's a whole wild thing with lawsuits. But just glad to be back. Huh?
Yeah. It's like new USA golf rules, I thought.
Yeah, there are a couple new rules, but nothing huge with that. So, But great to be back, and looking forward to our next show. Obviously, the conversation always continues on Facebook and on Twitter, even when we're not doing our shows. So find us on there, and John, I'll let you wrap us, my man.
Man, great to have you back, Brandon Reese. Man, great to have Brandon back. And his energy. Everybody, thanks for listening tonight. We had a great show. Thanks for Nas for calling in. It got a little cagey there for a minute, Brandon. But like, man, I think he's a longtime caller, listener, man. Thanks for calling in. D-Cott, I thought he was going to call in, but who knows, man. He probably took the program to the
he's
SEC
stuck
country.
On the roulette wheel.
We don't need to be in SEC country. But man, great show tonight. Episode 242. I think we're up to right now and beyond. This is what we're going to do, man. Next week, we'll be back bigger and better than ever. And dude, a lot of things are coming down the pipeline. February is going to be a huge month. I'm not going to spoil anything right now. I'll tell a little bit next week. But like I said, February is going to be a huge month, man. Like I said, man, thanks for everything. Hey, welcome everybody back, man. Brandon Reese, welcome back, man. You're a married man there. How's it feel?
A little heavier on the left hand.
Man. All right, everybody. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening. Thank you to our sponsors as well. Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports, and Wiseman Logistics. Couldn't do it without you guys. Thank you. We'll see you guys next week for the show. Conversation continues on Facebook and on Twitter.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe.